And we're rolling. This is going to be the November 15th first podcast of Deep Thoughts with Michael Gugist and Ed Sorbo. Good day. Welcome to Good Thoughts. Listen.
Good evening. Don't worry, you're going to get lots of that stumbling and tripping and interrupting.
Good evening. Welcome to Deep Thoughts with Michael Gugist and Ed Sorbo. Our unedited, uncensored, and nonsensical ramblings about motorcycle road racing and everything having to do with it. We're coming live from Willow Springs International Raceway, where it's blowing like a son of a bitch out there. It is crazy. There were big dust devils out on the track today.
But no wind, only breezes.
Breezes. That's the Willow Springs way of going about it. Tonight's 20-minute podcast, we will talk about why it's important to go racing if you are a manufacturer and what racing does for us as human beings. And we'll wrap it up with a little discussion on the newly announced KTM single series for kids and the challenges it's going to face. So let's get started.
Michael, what makes you qualified to have a show like this?
It's me, dude.
That's true.
You know, I am my own justification.
And you currently are earning money by doing what?
Oh, shit. Dude, I write about this stuff. I write about racing. I talk about racing. I shoot photos.
So you're a moto journalist.
I am a moto journalist. I write for Road Racing World and Motorcycle Technology.
I'll give you a temporary license to continue in this vein.
Not only that, I've raced for 20 freaking years,
you
dude.
You do race, and you practice today, and you went faster on the track today than I did.
I beat everybody. I won practice. I won practice today.
And my current qualifications.
Why in the world should anybody listen to you?
They shouldn't. Suspension guru, owner of Lindemann Engineering. Motorcycle crew chief, and I'm still racing. So, before us right now is the concept of why should a factory or anybody spend all this money to go racing?
Right.
And the perfect example is the beautiful job that Kawasaki is currently doing with their new Zip Bang Boom 3 million horsepower bike in both street and race-only version.
If anybody would like us to review one for this podcast, please send it to...
Right, they're getting a ton of publicity
right.
without any of the potential negative downside.
They're never going to get beat.
Exactly.
Because they're not going
to
race.
There's no way they're going to get beat.
Exactly. It's very hard to come in last
They might have a unique situation because they make submarines and airplanes and engines and trains and all kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And other guys might not be able to plug their thing. Okay, so they got that model, the Kawasaki model.
Right.
And then you got, you know, what Yamaha and Honda have been doing. They're going out at the toughest level of the world. They're standing naked in front of everybody and going, this is what I can do.
Right.
Right? And it, you know, like you don't even have to win all the time at that level, right?
No.
You just got to be in the fight and people respect you for that.
I disagree. You have to be in the fight and you have to look competitive. And that's why we see those wonky, weird-ass Ducati rules in MotoGP
Well, we're talking about Honda and Yamaha, the serious guys.
Absolutely.
We're not talking about the second stringers right now.
Right, right.
We love those guys. We hope they can make it up to the top.
Right.
Later on, we'll talk about if you should and why you have to have those kind of rules. So, the thing that brought this right to mind is I'm driving up here to the racetrack again, and I'm listening to NPR, right? And they had this great interview on with these manager engineer type people, a man and a woman from SpaceX.
Right.
Now, SpaceX is the private company that's been contracted by NASA to shuttle stuff to the International Space Station. And the International Space Station, by the way, is the largest single cooperative operation of a massive amount of countries on the planet ever other than a war. Right? They're spending all that effort and treasure to do something positive instead of something negative. And that is a good sign for humankind. Maybe Star Trek will happen. Mm. Anyway, in this interview...
Didn't the Enterprise have, like, photon torpedoes?
Oh, that thing rocked, didn't it? Okay. So, in this interview, the lady really impressed me because they were talking about how they broke the model. And that's what companies like SpaceX does, right? They find a different way of doing something that's going on. And what she said specifically was, look, the other guys have been doing it a long time. They were spending too much money. Everything took too long. It was inefficient, too much bureaucracy, blah, 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 blah. We came along. We looked at the problem totally differently. We came up with a different solution. We're doing it for like a tenth of the cost. And they're pissed off about that. And then she said, awesome. And the way she said awesome told me she's a racer. She would fit in out here hands down just like that. It's about the battle I want to kick your ass. I don't want to hurt you.
Right.
I don't want to cheat. I don't want to do anything sneaky or anything. I'll even help you in the pits, but I want to win.
I want to go 18 for 18, right?
And so you could argue, look, why should Honda go racing and potentially, if you don't got the right guy, right, you'd lose for a while.
And it's so easy to fall off the tightrope.
Exactly.
It's so easy to fall
off
the
tightrope. Just lock those guys, the engineers, in a room and say, guys, you know, we need better gas mileage. Guys, we need the bike to shift better. Guys, we need it to have, you know, better traction control, right?
Right, it doesn't work.
And what do they come up with? Well, they'll come up with some stuff.
Yeah, slightly better.
But they won't ever come up with what that lady came up with,
right? You know what they'll do? And this is the thing that kills it. They'll take breaks.
Yeah.
Every 2 hours. Right. It's like, oh, 15 minutes. We're off for 15 minutes. We have a full hour for lunch. There's no reason for them to work overtime at that point. I mean, you can't lock them in a room surrounded by rings of dudes with spears who are going like, you know, hey, you know. No, but the fascinating thing about racing is that they'll lock themselves in that room.
They will.
You know?
Motivation.
Exactly.
Humans have to be motivated. There is one time, where they locked engineers in a room and told them failure is not an option, and they solved the problem.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That really happened.
Right.
They really used a page from the manual and some duct tape to connect the round filter to the square hole and make it filter the air on the Apollo 13 mission and keep those guys alive on the way back.
Right.
So it can be done, but those guys knew there was lives on the line, three of them, right?
And that you're not going to
you can't convince them that you're really going to shock the guy.
Right. You're not going to, as an engineer, you're not going to go through that level of motivation to get, you know, a 0.25% increase in gas mileage.
But you're totally right, dude. When you get to stand on the podium with your rider, or at Park Firma, as they call it, he jumps over the wall at you and you catch him and throw him in the air, you can't pay people enough to have that experience. And that drives them. And that, it's not that those guys weren't willing to work 12 hours a day. They'll do that. They'll do that for pay. But it sparks imagination.
Yes.
Creativity.
Right.
Right? And who knows, that they're driving across the country or flying across the world and they're sitting together and they get a chance to talk and they come up with something they would never have come up with while they're being reviewed for in promotion back at the plant.
Right. We're at the factory. And the one really cool thing about racing is that you've got really kind of an opportunity to fail.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people really don't understand how conservative development engineering is in corporate America and in world corporations.
Oh, yeah.
There is no failure.
Yeah,
there
if you launch something and it doesn't work, thousands of people can lose their jobs.
Right. And, you know, your company looks bad. You know, the investors don't want to talk to you anymore. It's just all good. So what happens, of course, is that anything is developed is market tested every step of the way. Engineering quadruple checked to death. By the time you get the product to market, it'll work. It might not be a product that anybody else wants. That's not the way to motivate an engineer. And in racing, you could just, hey, what do you guys think? And let's throw this at it. Let's try this frame. How many frames did Honda build last year for the MotoGP bike? I mean, every other week, right? They're like, let's try this. You know,
Well, here's another thing, right? So your point is there's no penalty for failure. There is a penalty,
for failure.
You can lose some sponsorship, yada, yada. But the worst case scenario, right, is you get special rules so you can get your shit back together and catch back up to where whoever the leader is.
That's for our Ducati listener. And I mean that singular. God. Of course, you know, of course there's a penalty for losing. I mean, there's a penalty for failure.
So we've established that there is a motivational reason to go racing.
Right.
Or some kind of thing, you know, compete with the Soviets to get to the moon, right?
Right.
America wouldn't have done that if we weren't scared of the Soviets getting there before us.
Right.
What are you going to do with a moon rock?
Right.
I mean, it's great science and yada, yada, yada. But the average American person, they want to feed their kids and all that stuff. They don't, you know... And so, you know, it was great that we went, but if without the competition,
we wouldn't
have done. Definitely not then.
No.
So, okay, we believe it's good, and the majority of the guys making the decision at Honda and Yamaha believe it's good.
And the people listening to this podcast.
Absolutely.
God bless them.
But there are smart, hardworking people that are good people who legitimately say, no, it's better to go the way Kawasaki's doing. So let's... obviously we can, we are patting ourselves on the back. We love racing, but right? Why would you not want to go competitive, right? It's going to cost more if you go racing. Your failures are public. Now, I am of the opinion that...
I'm not sure how much more it's going to cost, but go on.
Okay. Your failures are public.
Yes.
You blow up a bike on a main straight on the run, you know, that's better. Now, I'm of the opinion that NASA's failures in the moon program and all the other ones
right.
are more valuable to the human race than their successes. Showing that it's okay to try
okay.
and you stand up and you keep
right,
going.
Right.
And the Soviets hiding all that shit was,
but
you know,
but we're not talking about the human race. We're talking
We're talking about
Yamaha.
Small
so yeah, I, we're talking about
gee,
Yamaha.
I digressed,
oh,
Michael Gugis.
Oh,
my gosh. Punish me.
Punch this
okay,
dude in the head.
So let's be the opposite, right?
Right.
Why would we not want to go racing to prove our product?
Ready?
Yes.
You might lose.
Yes, you might lose.
That's, no.
That's it?
And
they're just scared little wimps?
No, it's not just losing. It's not looking competitive. That's what's killing Suzuki and World Superbike right now. The bike, it's not that they're losing, but the bike doesn't look competitive at all. It looks disastrous. It looks like, who was that knucklehead? Patton, Paton? The guy made his own 500cc bikes.
Right?
Yeah, right? Just no hope, you know?
By the way, your definition of no hope is they finished fourth?
No, they would frequently fail to qualify.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you run the risk.
Which,
of
for
doing.
The record, is faster than any of our.
Oh yeah,
racers.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
whatever,
right?
Excuse me, I'm the guy who won practice today. No, I mean
I don't think that's it. I think the people that don't want to, that are at the bean counters, which
right?
we like to call them in a derogatory way, they just don't want to do anything. I wonder how they got a job at a place that might be able to
because
go.
Because they're
compete.
Bean counters.
Okay.
That's their job.
Right?
And that
there
is their job. And don't get me wrong, dude. When you're dealing with, you know, figures with 10 zeros in them, you need some bean counters, right? You need the people to
well,
keep
one of the
that
survival
stuff.
Things of the human race is once you make it to where you have a fairly large number of people,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say there's a fire and a third of the people run to the fire and try to put it out. And a third of the people don't do anything. And a third of the people run away.
Right.
Well, enough of your people are going to survive. Didn't matter that those guys did the
right.
wrong thing. It's only a third of them.
Right.
And so it's a, right,
what
it,
the hell
within
are you,
a company.
What is this?
See, I keep taking the big picture and trying to squeeze it down.
No.
And so my thing is, if you had a big company, right?
Right.
Some of the people want to run to racing.
Right.
Some people don't want to do anything. And some people go, oh, no, racing's horrible.
Right. And their explanation, and I totally get it, okay, is this, we'll go back to this failure thing. Not only is it, it's not losing. It's not that you can't put the bike on the podium. It's when you are 12th, week in, week out, you know, when you have nothing, when the best you can do, because that's what racing is,
right?
The best you can do shows no advantage over your competitors, your competitors in the marketplace, and shows deficiencies. Honda would get its ass kicked year after year and didn't care because when somebody stuck a radar gun on that bike on the front straight, it was the fastest thing that had shown up on the track. Might be one of the reasons that Ducati is still here. If you can't make that argument to the board of directors, if you can't say, look, we're going to go racing and we're going to show that we can build a kick-ass motorcycle, then you lose. And that, at that point, you know, what I think is interesting about this is that at that point, either you as the board, you go, okay, we're in and we're all in. We got it. We got to at least look good. Or you go with the people who say no and don't get involved at all.
Well, yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, if it's especially at a high level.
Yeah.
You got to go in all the way.
You can't
pussyfoot around. Can we leave that in?
Yeah, pussyfoot?
Yeah.
I'm totally fucking down with that.
Yeah,
right.
It's all or nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, what point to take away from this, folks, is when we're thinking about why did this company do this or why didn't they do that, and something that to us is freaking obvious, you got to remember, your company, Suzuki's not that big of a company, but there are thousands of Suzuki employees worldwide. And those people have mortgages and kids in school and all that stuff. And that shit's going to continue.
Right.
Unless you do something really, really, really stupid. And racing could be that thing.
Yes.
If you just keep building the best 750 sport bike in the world, all those people are going to do pay their mortgage and their kids are going to go to school, and right. that has value, and you have to protect that. You can only take some percentage of risk, right? It's like the... Go ahead.
Now, this is why, of course, you don't always have to fight in MotoGP.
No, absolutely.
This
you can
is
do it
why
lots of ways.
You have lots of different places. There's, I'm going to refer to Mark Donohue's The Unfair Advantage, his autobiography.
Some car driving race car guy that Michael
fantastic.
Likes.
Fantastic.
Book worth
it's
reading.
It is the Bible of racing.
It's
anyway,
not that good.
There's a chapter where they're talking about going Formula A racing. Formula A was a series in the United States like Formula One, but with Chevy big blocks and a fraction of the cost. They were getting their butts kicked at Indy. Their stock car program was going nowhere. They had a Trans-Am program that was going nowhere. I mean, and they were doing okay. I think they were like finishing second in, I think it was the year that Mark finished second in Indy. And Roger Penske is freaking out. He's like, wins are all that count in this business. We can't win there. We have to go win someplace else. And you can, if you are smart, you can go racing at a lower level, learn how to go racing,
yes.
and balance the investment and the potential risk versus, you know, what it's going to cost you and what it's going to cost your company. Where are we at? Oh, is that?
I can't 16 minutes.
Oh, I can't read that thing.
Keep talking for 2 minutes.
Keep talking for 2 minutes.
No, Donahue's book is good. Roger Penske is the team owner. Roger Penske,
genius.
Of course, is still around.
Right.
Doing pretty well this year in car racing, looking at 3 championships right now, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think
wow.
so.
Go figure.
They make some pretty decent motorcycle shocks,
right.
too. Yeah.
What's a car race?
No. Yeah, that's what happens when two guys on the way to Willow Springs for motorcycle racing see each other on the freeway. That's a car race.
The Porsche actually got into Formula One on its own in the early 60s. And this was during the period of the British kit car constructors, or the British constructors in the 1.5 liter formula.
Michael really has some useful useless
God,
information in
right?
his head.
Yeah.
Right, but the point is...
They bailed.
Pick the level,
yeah.
Pick the level that you think you can do good at, and then step up as you can. You don't have to go straight into the top level.
The great thing about it, this is the intangible benefit to a company that I think a lot of people don't think about. When that car, that bike, that vehicle goes into competition, every employee of that
yes.
company cares.
Yep.
Every employee of that company. Is part of that competition, and that motivates not just your race engineering team, but it motivates everybody, even the bean counters, you are, who are like, all right, you know, for the next 45 minutes, I don't care how much money we spend.
And that effect is so powerful that during World War II, American military was smart enough to take their guys from the front lines, skilled guys that had you know, done big stuff, and send them on tours. They sent pilots to the places where they were making parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilots would say, hey, by the way, I got my ass shut down.
Right.
I had to jump out of the airplane. The parachute you built kept me alive. And over there, my kid. Thank you. You think, right? You're folding parachute. You're like, whoa, I got to fold this even better.
Right.
It
exactly.
totally fucking works on all levels. So we agree. You should race. We think that it makes the engineers competitive and better and smarter. We think it makes the employees proud and better and smarter and more dedicated. And it all makes a snowball going uphill in a positive way.
Okay.
1 minute.
1 minute. Last thing. AMA, new series for kids. KTM, RC390 single. Ed, what challenges are they going to face?
The challenges are massive. The biggest is getting the people to understand how a spec series works, what it is, what
people,
it means.
The participants?
Everybody.
Oh.
The officials, the rule rider, the tech people, the guy stacking the air fence, the corner workers, the participants, the dads, the moms, the friends, the family, the fans.
Okay.
It's not a dumbed down thing. It's just a different way to go racing. Just like factories don't have to race at the top level all
right.
the time. You don't necessarily have the ability to be racing against Josh Hayes next weekend, but maybe you can do this. And traveling around the country, going to all kinds of different really cool motorcycle racetracks, meeting different hardworking, dedicated, honest people is a useful thing for mankind.
I couldn't
thank
agree
you
more.
Very much for listening to podcast number one of Deep Thoughts with Ed Sorbo and
Michael Gugis. We'll talk to you next time.